Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, Proof here. Just wanted to ask you guys, are you guys tired of all the mask ordinances that are passing all over the place with people telling you that you're not allowed to buy and sell unless you have a piece of fabric over your face? Well, we sure are tired of it. Please check out realbarefaceislegal.org and help us get together to fight these mask ordinances. You can also find Bareface Is Legal on Facebook, either as a group or a business page. Anyway, help us fight back against these stupid mask mandates. RealBarefaceIsLegal.org.
I know, it's that Green Jones again. This dude bees is a complete dunce.
We have to stop walking past his office.
I bet he is proud of Putin invading the Ukraine.
You don't even understand why there could be a world war.
There will be a war because Putin is a racist.
This war is all Trump's fault because everyone who likes Trump is a racist and genderist. I hope we can go to war against people who voted for Trump.
Oh my goodness. I don't know what they teach you at Southern Hampshire Institute and Technology. You guys suck.
You bees is a fool. You are too old to understand why we all need communism.
How dare you make fun of our school? SHIT is the best liberal school in the country. Liberals are so loving and liberal.
This war is starting because of America and Europe have lost their country's leadership with COVID restrictions. No one respects their presidents or prime ministers anymore. So now that everyone in the free world is saying let's go Brandon, they have to somehow get people to like their leaders again. They can blame all the world's problems on Russia.
I really hate Trump more than almost anyone ever in my lifetime. But this would not be happening under Trump.
Hey Jamar, you need to stop kissing Trumps. You're making us not like you by showing that kind of research.
Look, B, I'm black and Puerto Rican. How can I hate black people if I am black? And you're a white person telling me I hate black people just because you're dating a black?
Good evening.
This is Dean.
I'm Diana. And we're D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. We couldn't find the music. They changed the whole website around, and we couldn't find the music at the beginning, so we were playing some ungodly, awful ad.
Yeah.
People probably signed out by now.
Yeah, there's so much new stuff here, I can't find anything.
Yeah, so we're back after 2 weeks. 2 weeks of hiatus, but not really.
Right.
Hiatus.
Yeah, we were...
1 week, one of us was sick, and then that 1 week we presented... something for Divide New York.
Oh, yeah, we had, last week we were up in Niagara County.
Yeah, doing that. So, oh my gosh, there's so much that has happened in 2 weeks. What you want to update on while you're playing Rashad? So, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess you're not prepared tonight.
Okay. No.
What about the CDC? The CDC is actually creating ICD-9 codes for those of you that know what an ICD-9 or ICD-10 book is. So you go in and you have a hangnail, and there's an ICD-9 code for that. And they put it on your paperwork for the insurance companies. And what they're doing is they're going to be keeping track of people who refuse to take a COVID-19 vaccine. So there's an ICD-9 for the unvaccinated, for COVID-19. There's one for partially vaccinated, which means that you've received at least one dose, or you're delinquent.
Yeah.
On them.
So then they'll charge you a penalty and interest, just like the IRS.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I think they'll be recording it, you know, for their QR scan or...
Yeah, and while they're at it...
another agenda that they're doing.
They're going to start vaccinating all of us, whether we like it or not, by... including it in the food supply.
Well, yeah, they're going to start using mRNA vaccines on livestock.
Right.
Yes. So another reason to buy organic, which I say every week. Now everybody says, oh, you know, they spray the chemtrails. Why bother buying organic? Well, organic, if you look for the non-GMO label, means that it's not genetically modified. And I was pretty ticked off this week. There's somebody that I'm sitting near that likes these cookies that I buy from Wegmans.
Yeah,
and they're like ultimate chocolate chip cookies, and they're gluten free, but they're not organic or anything. And we happen to be reading the label, and it literally says on there this product contains geoengineered items. So they're actually labeling it. So guess what? We won't be buying them anymore. So
that means no dessert for me.
No, that just means it'll be a different dessert. So, of course, you could be buying eggs from Walmart. Walmart and Aldi's. There was this video I saw it on Telegram. These eggs are like rubbery and plastic, like they're not real eggs.
Right, and then they fry them up, and it's a piece of rubber. They were bouncing it off the kitchen countertop. It was crazy.
Well, the NIH came out with an article, and then you could see where this egg shortage is coming from, said that there's an element in eggs that actually helps prevent or even lessen symptoms of the COVID-19.
Right. So what do? In response to that?
Yeah, we get rid of all the eggs.
Well, yeah, and they burned down a big chicken house where over, 1,000, 1,200 chickens died in
that
fire?
No, there was like 10,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was huge. It was in New Hampshire. It was huge. Well, not only that, but since Biden has taken office, there's been 96 food plants that have burned down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my lifetime, I don't ever remember that happening at all.
Yeah, no food plants. Maybe a McDonald's or something at the corner burned down, but no food plant.
Or, you know, a business that needed insurance money or something. But 96. I mean, that's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
That's absolutely crazy. So they're pushing this agenda 2030. They really are. You could really see it now. And now he's going to be lifting the COVID-19 emergency May 11th. Well, what are you waiting until May 11th for? Why May 11th? What's so special about that date?
Yeah, well, that's when they'll be, on the 10th, they'll be releasing the new disease that'll be a pandemic.
You think so?
Yeah, so the COVID pandemic will be gone, but then the new one will take over.
Well, my girlfriend and I mention Catherine every week because I see her on Thursdays, and she was talking about this today and how, whatever's going to be coming next is going to be even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a...
What are they going to be hiding? The big things are going to be speaking over the Hunter Biden laptop. Now I guess him and his lawyers are saying it wasn't his laptop.
Okay.
And, no president or family member of a president would give their laptop to Best Buy or whoever to work on it. So they're saying now that this is a total imposter.
Mm-hmm.
Imposter, And that's why I say I support BLM, Biden Laptop Matters.
Yeah, right. So to totally go off the other way, the CDC, which we know is actually good for crap, but they came out today and they warned that a brand of eye drops might be linked to drug-resistant bacterial infections.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying it's the Ezra Care, E-Z-R-I, Ezra Care, artificial tears. I don't use any of that stuff in my eyes. I have one, and it's by Simulson, and it's a natural one. They don't put all that stuff in there, as a dry eye drop if you need them. So if you guys need a good one, look up their brand. They're a homeopathic eye drop. Don't use Visine. Don't use all these artificial chemicals. That's all you're putting in your eyes is artificial chemicals.
And that's why a lot of them burn when you use them.
Yeah. Yeah, you might as well put mouthwash in your eyes. I mean, come on. So while the House passed a bill, this is some positive news, the House passed a bill to block the HHS or HHS from enforcing the vaccine mandates at some healthcare facilities. So
yeah,
that's good news.
You know, a bunch of these doctors, nurses, aides, they may be getting their jobs back and maybe with some back pay.
Maybe, but not New York, because she has decided that she will not follow it. She is not rehiring. We're talking about Kathy Hochul here, Kathy Hochul.
Right, right.
She is the governor. Because there are some people that are not from New York that listen to this radio show. So she's the governor of New York, and she is not going to be rehiring people, even though the mandate was overturned in court.
Right.
Yeah. So, fun times. But, yeah, so the House passed a bill to end the COVID-19 emergency. But, like you said yesterday, it has to pass Senate.
Yeah, it has to pass the Senate. And then if it passes the Senate, you know, then...
Bite me has to.
Yeah, he has to sign it. And, you know, he won't sign it unless somebody's holding his hand and he's like, you know, it'll be like Colonel Blake and Radar O'Reilly. What am I signing? Oh, don't worry about it. Just sign it.
Right. If it gets that far.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, there is so much that has happened in 2 weeks. It's really unbelievable. This is just so much going on.
Yeah, all sorts of people are coming out and saying, you know, that the jab, you know, is causing a lot of bad things. Who was that one doctor?
Dr. Malone.
Yeah, Dr. Malone. He came out, and I actually heard an interview of Dr. Malone interviewing someone from Pfizer, you know, one of the executives. Now, he wasn't, you know, the chief executive officer or the president. He was three or four layers down from those guys. And, you know, they know that it's bad.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to hide that now, too, that fact of that interview. They're brushing that under the rug now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were some articles today I saw from some of the mainstream media that fact-checked it, saying, no, Pfizer did not say that the vaccine was dangerous and bad, you know, in so many words. We all know it is. We all know what's happening. I mean, the amount of young kids, and we're talking high schoolers now,
right,
that are having, you know, heart incidents from this.
Right. And what, come on. I mean, I was in a school of 3,500 kids.
Yeah.
And nobody dropped dead of a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
The whole 3 years I was there.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I see that our guest is waiting. So let's wrap up what we're talking about. We'll bring him on soon. So India Walton is running for Buffalo Common Council.
Oh. Right, yeah.
She's just butt stinking ugly.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Well, and she's, you know, an admitted, confirmed socialist communist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then on the Republican side, I've heard that, let me see, Chris Jacobs, Stefan Mihailu, maybe Ed Rath. You know, these are all names that are getting thrown out. Mickey Kearns are all thinking about running against polarizing cars.
Oh.
Polling cars for county executive, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
Well, that would be all right. But Mickey just got reelected, can he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's actually, you know, for guys like him, it's better off for him to run for a different office midterm. Because then if he loses, he still has his job. Mm. If he you can only run for one political office at a time.
Mm.
So if he ran for something, you know, during his normal cycle when he was running for county clerk again, then he could only run for one and he'd have to commit to it. And if he lost, like Lee Zeldin, he was a congressman, ran for governor, same cycle. Mm. So he lost. Well, he's still not a congressman. He, you know, he couldn't run for Congress and for governor at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So,
my cat over here is playing with one of the balls.
Yeah,
people are wondering what the bells is. Yeah. So another reason to not take conventional crappy drugs, article that came out that said there is a toxic carcinogen in some popular drugs. It's called nitro... How would you think he would say that? Nitrosamines. Anyway, it's carcinogenic, which means it's not any good for you. And it's turning up in diabetes medications, hypertension medications. I mean, the big pharma doesn't have any of your interests in mind. You're dollar signs to them. That's it.
Yep.
Anyway, let's get on to what's going on with the guns. Seems to be a lot of shootings lately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or are they false flags?
Yeah, or are they, the anti-gun crowd, you know, handing out guns, giving people, you know, big bank accounts or giving their parents big bank accounts to, you know, go to school with a gun in your backpack.
Yeah.
You know, we'll give you a brand new bicycle, you know, like some kindergartner in some place.
I mean, I think he was, what, six?
Yeah.
That last one?
Yeah,
I mean,
or five, kindergartner. They had a gun in the backpack, and then in another school, some kid put a loaded gun in somebody's face. And it's like, you know, come on, guys, how'd they even get this in the school? Every school nowadays has metal detectors at the front door. It's not like the good old days when you just walked in.
You know, and I don't trust mainstream media all that much. I mean, they could just be making the scenarios up. We don't even know if they're true.
Right.
You know, it's not like we can call a school and say, hey, I heard there was a sixth grader or a six-year-old that brought a gun to school. They wouldn't tell you anyway. So, you know, are they making some of these scenarios up so that they can push their gun control? It's possible.
Yep.
You know, I don't trust a lot of it. But, you know, a couple of months ago we did a presentation. We had an area meeting for Divide New York, and our guest, Tom Reynolds, happened to be there, and everybody was like, Tom Reynolds is going to be on the show? I said, not that Tom Reynolds. There's another Tom Reynolds.
Yeah, there's Tom Reynolds, you know, the former congressman. He's not on our show tonight, okay?
Right.
This is Tom Reynolds, the president of SCOPE, and when he sent his bio, it was interesting. You know, he never ran for president. He just joined the group. But, you know, we'll let him tell his story.
Yeah, and we have a lot of callers. So, callers, if you want to actually talk, you have to hit one so that your hand goes up and we can unmute you. So, anyway, so we're going to bring him on. We have about 8 minutes for him to be able to tell us a little bit about who he is, what SCOPE is, and then we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of what's going on in New York State and beyond with the gun laws. So, Tom, are you there?
Yep, I'm there.
Yay.
Okay, we hear you.
Yay, thanks so much for being on the show tonight.
Oh, my pleasure, Rob. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, so just a little update. At 8 o'clock and 8:30, we have to go for a four-minute commercial to pay our sponsors, so you'll just hang on tight with that while we do that.
Okay.
And it is live radio. Nationwide radio, so there is a little bit of a delay when we talk.
No problem. Is that why I see a little delay on this end?
Right, right. And, you know, we're, you know, through the phone line, through the computer.
Right.
Through a lot of electronics to get to each other. So.
Always delay on live radio. So tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about SCOPE. So people that don't know what it is, because there's a lot of people listening that may not know what it is, and then we'll go to commercial and get back to the nitty-gritty of things.
Okay. I've been the president of SCOPE for the last 3 years, and I was president once before. At that time, I said I'd only run for a year, but I was still involved with it. And then in 2020, they asked me to do it again. And so I've been doing it ever since. SCOPE itself has been around since 1965. And according to the IRS, we're a 501c4 organization, which means we're an educational organization, which really does, really is what we do. Our articles of incorporation say we defend the Constitution with an emphasis on the Second Amendment. And since its beginning, it's mostly been the Second Amendment. But we're expanding it more now because, frankly, the people that are going after the Second Amendment are going after the entire Constitution. And you know, we want to work with more organizations. For instance, we work with Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, with Gun Owners of America, with Niagara Safe, with the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association and the NRA, and there's a New York Jewish Gun Club, are just some of the guns we work with all the time. So we're really trying to expand it because, as I said, the people that are going after the Second Amendment are going after the entire Constitution. And it's not just the First Amendment. They don't like the Electoral College. They don't like that there's two senators from each state. And basically, they're finding the Constitution is a real impediment to their power goals. So we're trying to expand more and more and deal more and more with these other issues, too. But we still are primarily Second Amendment. That's where we spend our time. And the difference between SCOPE and a lot of other organizations is that we have the local chapters and counties, where most of your statewide organizations are just that, statewide at the top. We have the grassroots in our organization. So that really makes us different. We're able to deal directly with your local legislators. When we do things, we can go and get local opinions on congressmen and stuff like that. A congressman covers a whole group of areas, a whole group of counties, and we can talk to the individual counties and find out what their sense of the congressman is as opposed to the bigger picture. So that's where our emphasis is, on the chapters. We send out emails probably 3 to 5 times a week, and every other month we do a magazine. It's usually about 20-some pages. It deals with all kinds of topics that are of interest to our members.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, SCOPE, yeah, their logo is the crosshairs. Come on, you know, we've all seen it. But it's the Shooters Committee on Political Education. So, you know, they're primarily, yeah, they're a lobbying group, but they're also a non-for-profit, you know, educational group, too.
Yeah, and we really need that right now because a lot of people don't understand what's going on with the gun laws in New York, and we're definitely going to get into that after commercial.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The educational part is important because, for instance, one of the things you hear Fox News say is that they get as many viewers as MSNBC and CNN combined. But the basic news shows, ABC, CBS, NBC, get more viewers than Fox. So you're getting at least four people that are getting the left liberal play on things as opposed to the one person who's getting the conservative Republican play on things. And so you've got this constant background noise that's anti-gun, anti-constitution, anti-American, and pro-socialist. So it's important that we try to get this out, and we do it through emails and through written documents where it's our attempt to offset some of this and to create an educational opportunity that doesn't happen for most people.
Yeah, for sure. We have a lot of stuff to cover. So we are going to go to our first commercial break. We will be back in 4 minutes for anybody that's holding. Just hold tight. D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Hang tight, guys. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. Let me say it again.
The 2020 election was the most secure
election in American history.
Let me begin by asking a very simple question. Do we know the truth about what really happened in the 2020 election?
I think millions of Americans know something went wrong, and they have little pieces, and no one's really put it together.
I'm agnostic on this question, and I am awaiting more information.
If I believe the president were a Nazi, I might steal an election.
Bold accusations require bold evidence, and they haven't seen it.
We have been working on something big.
Show me the money.
Can we meet? I've been working with Greg Phillips. He has a deep background in election intelligence.
True the Vote has the largest store of election intelligence for the 2020 elections in the world. No one has more data than we do. We identified in Atlanta 242 mules that went to an average of 24 drop boxes. But Philadelphia alone, we've identified more than 1,100 mules.
What is a mule?
Person picking up ballots and running them to the drop box.
This is not grandma out walking her dog. Bad backgrounds, bad reputations. They are interested in one thing, that's money.
And in no shape, in no way, in no time is that legal.
This is organized crime.
Do you have video evidence?
4 million minutes of surveillance video around the country.
What you're about to see is disturbing.
So this is 1 o'clock in the morning.
Don't we all vote at 1 o'clock in the morning?
So in one night, this person, this mule, went across six counties to 27 different drop boxes.
I call it the Mexican Mafia, seriously, because they work like that.
This is jaw-dropping. What you showed is frightening.
It's just sickening to me. Now we come to the most important question of all. Was the magnitude of vote trafficking enough to tip the balance in the 2020 presidential election?
It's not a leap to say this would have made it.
Okay, we're back.
We are back.
So, John, you there?
Yeah, good to be here.
So if you don't mind, I want to get to a question that was just emailed to us, somebody that's listening that...
Sure.
Has to sign off relatively soon. So they're asking about their pistol permit recertification. They're 100% totally confused on what's going on with the recertification.
Well, they should be confused. Were they more specific on what in particular the issue was?
They just need to recertify, and this is in Niagara County. And he wants to know what the protocol is now with all the new gun laws.
Okay, what has happened, and they have every right to be confused. It's the basic law that was passed is in force at this moment. It's still subject, they're trying to get a stop on enforcement of it, but right now it is in force. One of the things that's happened is that if you recertified prior to September 1st, as I did, you have 5 years to recertify according to the piece of paper you got from New York State. However, if you go online and check your recertification date now, you only have three years until you recertify. They've changed that without us knowing anything about it. And that's New York State doing it. But everything we're getting says that it's strictly 3 years right now. We don't know if they're going to give out any notification or not, because we caught this. I got a hold of my state senator, and he's introducing a bill to have the state police send out a notification 90 days in advance of the recertification date so people don't run afoul of this. there's a lot of us like me who keep track of when our recertification date was, and we're not paying any attention to it. We'd expect that the government would notify us if there was this kind of change, but they haven't done that as far as I know. We haven't been able to find any public statement. They aren't sending letters saying, gee, we just knocked 2 years off your recertification date. So, yeah, they've only got 3 years to do it. If it happens right now, you have to go through all of the crap that's in this Concealed Carry Information Act, Improvement Act, all of the training, all of that stuff is all currently in force.
So I almost feel like without them notifying people that they want to do it on purpose, you know, so that people default, because then they got to go through the whole process again. I mean, if somebody defaults, then they have to go through the whole application again, wouldn't they?
Yeah. When we found out about this, I sent out an email to the SCOPE members, and a lot of the returns, I mean, first of all, people started going online and checking and finding out the same thing had happened to them. So it wasn't a limited group that this was happening to. And our concern, I mean, we don't know, only state police can tell us, and they're not going to, is this just a backdoor way of getting us to miss our recertification date so they can then get into some sort of gun confiscation scheme? You know, that I wouldn't put it past them. They work for Hochul, and the head of the state police is a political appointee. You know, this is not the rank and file. They're probably okay. They're just doing what they're told. But you've got the people at the top might just try something like that. And as I said, we were really shocked that there was no notification of any sort to anyone. And I went on line to look at their frequently asked questions, and there's never been anything like this. And we expected when this originally came out, this would be one of the questions that people would have, is say, hey, I have a 5-year recertification date. Is that going to be affected? And the answer should have been, yes, we're going to change it, but they didn't tell us. So people just don't know. But the short answer is all of the Concealed Carry Improvement Act kind of stuff is all enforced at this current moment.
Yeah, and I almost feel like it's partially maybe a money grab for them, too, by making people do it sooner than they should have.
Well, you know, I had to recertify a year ago January. And I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I ever did in my life. You know, in the back of my pistol permit, it's got every single pistol I own. You know, the name, the manufacturer's name, model number, the length of the barrel, what caliber it shoots. And I had to put that down all again, as if some of it's going to change, and they don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
Yeah, and what you're getting into is really one of the things that's behind the Concealed Carry Improvement Act is to make the system so bureaucratic that it makes it difficult for people to work through. It's expensive now to do it. Under the law, if you buy, say, a gun for $500, you've got to take a training class. And the prices I'm seeing are running $500, $600, $700 to take the 18-hour training class. So you've now doubled the cost of your gun. And if you leave the gun in your car, you have to have a special storage unit. And the cheapest one I found online was $150. So there's that kind of stuff. And there's a congresswoman. This is nationwide. Sheila Jackson Lee. She's from Houston. And every year she introduces a bill in Congress that every gun owner should have to pay $800 a year for liability insurance. And she'd also like to see 1,000% sales tax on all gun sales. So that's one of the ways to say, oh, sure, you can have a gun, you just can't afford it.
Right. I've actually seen something similar to that out of New York State, where they wanted us to have liability insurance, not just an $800 blanket policy, but about $1,000 per gun. So, you know, if you're a collector, or even if you're not a collector, you know, you're a gun owner that's got, you know, 10 guns, all of a sudden you're looking at $10,000 a year, you know, and with the price of ammunition, you can't afford that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just exactly it. I mean, they know they can't get rid of the Second Amendment directly, so they're trying to backdoor it. And raising the price of all this stuff, that's one of the major factors in all behind all of these laws, is to just make it so expensive that only the rich people could afford it. Because, frankly, their goal is that there will be no civilian ownership of guns. Only the government will have guns.
Mm-hmm.
And any way they can get it, that's what they're trying to do.
No, and, you know, they have never forgotten what the Admiral Hirohito said when, after Pearl Harbor, he was given orders to attack the U.S. mainland. He said, "I'm not going to do it because behind every blade of grass, there's an American with a gun." And they have never forgotten that. So now they're trying to get rid of the guns. You know, like you said, backdoor. Are they try to make the ammunition. So, I mean, before this, you know, Trump and before, there were about a dozen of us every Friday go out shooting for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the Hirohito quote, because I recently wrote an email to members talking about the military recruitment issues. You know, the military has been falling way short of their recruitment quotas. And the thing is, just like Hirohito said, we're defending ourselves, basically. And what happens if the military isn't there to defend us? And at the same time, the government is trying to disarm all of us. So they're taking away our military defense and taking away our personal defense.
Well, that makes it easy for us to be invaded, and I've said it many times on this show. What's going on in the southern border is an invasion. You know, in 2.5 months, you've got as many illegals invading this country as we did on D-Day. You know, on D-Day, you know, June 6, 1944, 280,000 American troops or allied forces invade Europe, and by August, there were 2.8 million. Allied forces that had invaded Europe. And, you know, that 2.8 million, that's just the past 2 years under the Biden administration. So it truly is an invasion.
Yeah, and she just allocated $1 billion for illegals in the new budget, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the new budget. Yeah, unbelievable. So
You're absolutely right that it's an invasion. In fact, the email that I sent out today, we were talking about some of the statistics that ICE just published having to do with all of the arrests that they're doing of illegal aliens. And we're not just talking a few hundred. We're talking in the thousands. And these are people that are murderers, rapists, and stuff like that from their own country. And then they're just walking across the borders here. So, yeah, another reason we need to defend ourselves.
Well, you know, and the fentanyl crisis, that's all coming in from the southern border. You know, let's not kid ourselves. And then,
yep.
You know, I heard some crazy number. You know, let's say 1% of these people are ISIS or whatever, you know, Taliban, you know, one of those groups that hate us. You know, there'd be something like 10,000 a year of them sneaking through the southern border. You know, that would make a lot of sleeper cells.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they want to disarm us so we can't defend ourselves from these people. You know, the people that have the farmers along the Texas border, they're probably glad as hell they live in Texas and they're allowed to have guns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're looking at the kind of stuff they're doing down in Texas and in Florida and places like that, where the Texas governor, they were putting up their own wall. And you read some of the stories about some of the farmers where people are just crossing their land every night, and they're really concerned about their own personal safety, that who's out there, who's doing this. And everything says they're being led by the drug cartels or the ones that are getting across the border. So it's a real scary time to have a place on the border.
Right, and to be a rancher down there. And, I've seen the documentaries where, you know, these people, you know, barricade themselves up in their homes at night because they've got thousands of people a day, you know, going across their yard, their front yard.
Yeah, that's scary stuff.
Yeah, I mean, who would have believed this just a few years ago that it's reached this kind of thing? And when Trump was cracking down on it, and the day Biden started, it's just gone crazy since then.
Right, right. So I think, Diana, you got a couple more emails from people.
Let me just go back on my email here. And
hey, while you're doing that, let me just jump in with something. You were asking before to tell you a little bit about SCOPE, and I was pointing out our grassroots, and I wanted to give you just an example of what we do on something like that. If you remember, there was the last year the whole redistricting. In the New York 23rd became the most Republican district in New York State. And
right.
And probably the most Republican district in the Northeast. And when they switched to Chris Jacobs, who was a sitting congressman, and I heard you mention him earlier, was the front runner. He had declared for the 23rd. And last Memorial Day weekend, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, my email started lighting up. People were sending me, did you hear what Chris Jacobs just said? And of course, at that point I hadn't, but when I checked it out and I did a bunch of research to be sure it was true, Jacobs was saying he was going to be voting for some anti-Second Amendment bills. And so we were really upset about that. So we have a number of chapters in the 23rd. I got a hold of the chapter chairs in there and basically said to them, you need to get a hold of your Republican committee for your county and your conservative committee for your county and tell them if they've endorsed Jacobs, they need to rethink it. And if they haven't endorsed Jacobs, stop. And we kept after this. And it wasn't just us. There were, I'm sure, at their end, the New York State Rifle and Pistol, for instance, was doing something. But we were really hitting them at the local level. And within a week, Jacobs had withdrawn from the race. He'd gotten so much crap over it. So that's where you come in at the local level where you can really make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, as a lame duck after the election, he sided with the Democrats and did, support a national bill while he was in Congress before the Republicans got the majority.
You're absolutely right. He was not just on Second Amendment bills, but on some other stuff. He was really going out the door. He was really showing his true colors.
Yep. And then, rumor has it he may run for county executive.
He'll be running out of
probably more of a Democrat than he is a Republican. So in Erie County, where we're a 2-to-1 county, yeah, he might have a chance.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. So the next question is from Mary. She's from Oswego County. She emailed us wanting to know if there have been any updates on the lawsuits that are going on.
Okay, yeah, that's a complicated question. And I'm not sure how much everybody knows about all of this, so I need to set some. In the spring, there was what's called the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin decision. And the Supreme Court had come out, and they just reemphasized really some prior rulings. And they said, look, the Second Amendment is for self-defense. It's not just for hunting. So when Joe Biden says, oh, what do you need 10 rounds to kill a deer? It's not to kill a deer. If you're facing multiple assailants, you might need 10 rounds or more. So it said the Second Amendment is not just for hunting. It also said that a gun does not have to be in existence in 1791 when the Second Amendment was passed. And then it said, you can't do a cost-benefit analysis on it. It's the law. And what was really important was that the Second Amendment says you can keep and bear arms. New York State was saying, yeah, you can keep them, but you can only bear arms between your kitchen and your living room. You can't bear arms outside the home. And the Supreme Court says, no, 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 you can do it outside the home. And it emphasized that you have to go back to the original understanding of the Second Amendment. And let me just give you an example. If I agreed to sell you something for $500, and when the time came for you to pay and for you to take it, I said, well, it's really $510 now because of inflation. But we have a written document that says $500. What did that document mean? It didn't say with inflation. It just said $500. So they're going back and say, what did it mean when it was written? It's a contract. And they also threw in some things about sensitive places that New York couldn't, for instance, and they put this right in the decision, New York could not name Manhattan Island as a sensitive place where you can't carry a gun just because there's a lot of people and there's police protection. So right after that was passed, New York went crazy. The legislature in Hochul went crazy, and they passed a series of Second Amendment laws. And what they were trying to do is backdoor the Second Amendment. And they were taking a number of tacks on it. They were trying to make guns too expensive, as we talked earlier. Not just the cost of that, the training, security. They want guns to be micro stamping, which doesn't work, but would add to the cost of the gun. They're making the process bureaucratic. They were limiting the carry areas, and they're going after federal firearm licensees, which are your gun store owners. Basically, you can carry a gun, but there's no place in New York State they want you to be able to buy a gun or buy ammunition. So as a result of this, there's been a whole raft of lawsuits. There's probably 8 or 10 that I know about, and I lost track, and I know there's a couple more coming out. And the big one's the Concealed Carry Improvement Act, and it's a big act. It covers a lot of things. And when these lawsuits came out, they sue a specific part, not just the entire law. So if the law had sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they dealt with 5 different issues, a lawsuit might go after Section 1, another lawsuit might go after Sections 2 and 3, another one might go after all 5 of them. And the big one is one that's called Antoniuk. And there's a second one that's really important called Gazzola. The Antoniuk one really attacks a lot of the law. The Gazzola one deals with the federal firearms licensees. And that's, as I said, is important because they're the people we get our guns from, and they're trying to drive them out of New York State. So the lawsuits, you have to look at them, and this is to answer the question, in two ways. There's a suit that says some section of that law is unconstitutional, and we want you, the judge, to declare it unconstitutional, and they're having no effect. Then they go and say to the judge, look, the lawsuit is still in force while this suit is going on, but if you read our brief, it's likely we're going to win, so we want you to do a temporary stop, a temporary injunction, a stay, whatever you want to call it, on that lawsuit while it's being heard. And otherwise, people are going to be arrested for violating this law that's going to turn around and be declared unconstitutional. So what's happened is the bulk of the efforts that's going on right now are on that stay, on that stop enforcement that's going on. It, at the local, at the trial level, the judges, for the most part, said, yes, we agree, you're likely to win, and therefore we're going to stop enforcement. The state, because they're dealing with taxpayer money, so it's, they don't care about the cost, they then appealed it to the mid-level appeals court in the federal system. The federal appeals court reversed the trial court's decision. They said, yes, it can be enforced. So that then was appealed to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court then kicked it back to the mid-level appeals court. And basically, you know how the government is very bureaucratic. Well, the judicial system is very bureaucratic, too, and you've got to just do everything just in a certain way and do it just right. And one of the things that happened is when the trial court originally dealt with this, they produced these long decisions that were 80 pages long. When the appeals court reversed those decisions, they did it on a one-page decision, and they didn't give any of their rationale. The Supreme Court has said to the mid-level appeals court, hey, you have to go back and reconsider this. You have to follow your directions, and you have to document why you're rejecting this appeal. And what was really important, they said to the appeals court, get your butt in motion. You got to do it quickly because these things can take years. And they emphasized it. They said it three times. Get going. Hurry. Move along. So apparently the appeals court has heard that decision, has heard that, and they've reacted. So something that in the appeals court world is lightning speed. They've scheduled a hearing on March 20th, and what they're going to do is hear four of the separate lawsuits in tandem. And those four lawsuits are, the big one is the Antoniuk one, which is trying to stop New York State from enforcing major areas of the concealed carry. Now remember, this is still just the temporary stop that we're dealing with. We haven't even gotten to the case itself. And the second one that they're going to hear is the Gazzola, which is really important because that's the federal firearms licensee, and I'll get back to that in a second. And then there's two other ones. One has to do with, is very narrowly focused with places of worship, and another one has to do with the private property aspect of it. So that's where it stands right now. The law is in force. We're appealing it and trying to, it's Gun Owners of America and some other folks that are just doing that, to get this stay put back in. We think there's an excellent chance the Supreme Court, because if the appeals court rules against us again, it'll undoubtedly go to the Supreme Court again, and we believe the Supreme Court, based on the Bruin decision, which New York State basically spit in their face, is going to react and come back and say, no, we're going to put the stay on. But whether or not that happens, you still then got to go to the basic lawsuit, which is to say this is unconstitutional. Now, that could take a couple years.
Yeah, just like anything else. Yep, the court system in New York, unless they really want to push it, you'll be waiting a while.
Right.
Yeah, so that's really, now I just want to expand a little bit on the Gazzola lawsuit, because that doesn't get as much attention, but it's really important. This is one that Gazzola is a store owner, a federal firearms licensee. If you're in the business of selling a gun in the United States, you have to be a federal firearms licensee. And what has happened, they're challenging 31 different statutes that are a result of this the latest laws. And the laws are doing a couple things. They're making it, they've added so many expenses to running a gun store that they're trying to force places out of business. It's not just, at one time it's going to cost every gun store several thousand dollars to comply, and then in succeeding years it's also going to cost them thousands of dollars. The second part they're doing is to make it very bureaucratic. And so what they're doing is put in all kinds of paperwork, and if the licensee should happen to make a mistake on that paperwork, the federal government can step in and take away their license, put them out of business. And so, for instance, this is not just imaginary, it's actually happening. Before Biden was inaugurated, there were usually about 40 on the average firearms licenses revoked every year. In the first 18 months of the Biden administration, they've revoked 273 licenses. So they're going after it. So if you're put yourself in the position of one of these store owners, I'm going to have to invest thousands of dollars, and these are generally small-time mom-and-pop store owners. In addition, it's going to cost me ongoing thousands of dollars, and if my clerk should happen to make a paperwork mistake, they're going to come in and take away my license, and all that money's gone. So it's just another way, as I said, you can carry a gun in New York State, you just can't buy one or get ammunition. So the Gazzola one is really important in terms of this stop enforcement, because right now all of those federal firearms licensees are supposed to be complying with the new law. And in fact, one of them, Gazzola, has pleaded the Fifth Amendment on filling out a form that I forget the exact part of it, but she had to say she was in compliance with New York State laws, and she pleaded the Fifth Amendment rather than filling it out. So it could get really ugly. So we really need, if there's one of these lawsuits, we really need for the judges to step in. It's on Gazzola to keep the gun stores in operation.
Right.
We really need them to do the right thing. So we are going to go to our next commercial. So you just do the same thing you did last time. Anybody, any of the callers that if you want to speak, make sure you hit 1 to let your hand go up. We're going to go to another 4 minutes, and we will be back to go over some of the things that we have for you, Tim.
Okay.
So, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Hang tight, guys. We'll be back in 4.
Stay. So let's talk about what's going on in America. Freedom is under attack in your state. Dictator Ron DeSantis incredibly lets you walk around without masks. That tyrant allows your kids to go to school during the pandemic, year 2 or 4, or who the hell knows. I urge you living in Florida to join the fight. Or join us in California, where we'll take the money you earn and give it to people who don't work. Visit San Francisco, where you can walk through human feces. If you're lucky, you might step on a syringe. Check out Los Angeles, where gas is so expensive, your kids only need to skip a meal or 2 or 10 to afford it. California, where freedom means lockdowns for you, while I go to the places you can't afford. Don't let them take your freedom. Come to California, where we'll take it, along with your money.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie.
That government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny?
We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave.
And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
I'm excited. I haven't been at McDonald's for the last 20 years. I wonder what changed.
Oh, my God!
Oh, my Lord, what happened in here? What's up? I'd like to order a Big Mac menu and two cheeseburgers if possible. What the fuck is these farting noises? Oh my God, what is this shithole? This guy is brain damaged.
Seems like you haven't put a step here in a while. This McDonald's is only for the fat guys. You need to have over 35 body mass index. This means you have to be in severe obesity. You get a special member's card.
And what are you doing in this place then? You are not fat.
I'm ordering for my fat uncle. He is like a 40. He can't even step out of his bed anymore. But come with me, let's order at the self-service terminals. I can pick for you and show you how it works. Here is the kiosk. You can only choose between three different menus.
Wait, what the? Monster Mac menu, 7 stairs burger, 4 liters of Coke, 500 grams of fries. Quarter nuke menu, quadruple pounder, 2 times 5 liters jerry cans and 1 kilogram of fries. Bro, this ain't possible. Eating these menus will give you a free ticket to the hospital.
Yep, but don't forget this is a fat-only place restaurant. These guys are crazy. My uncle's favorite is the mega cheesy menu. This one's crazy mate. 2 giant burgers and some cheesy cheese fries.
Okay, let's order the Monster Mac menu. At least it's possible to finish. $99, this is ridiculous. The inflation gone crazy. Okay, let's click next.
Welcome to the sides.
100 nuggets box, 25 chicken wings, 35 cheesy rolls, 200 mini meatballs. Oh my Lord, man. This is mad. If people were to see this in 2022, they would have gone super crazy.
Yes, for sure. I wonder what YouTube comments they would have wrote. Lol.
Let me take the chicken wings. This is the best in my opinion.
Welcome to the ice creams. That's the last step. This is also mad, but the best one is the double nuking cream. This one obliterates your day, but it's delicious.
Okay, let's go for that. $276, are you kidding? This is 5% of my wage already. I'm not going to eat here anytime soon again.
I don't think so. You haven't tasted yet. You will see, mate.
Here is your meal, sir. Have a nice one and don't forget to rate 5 stars.
Oh my God. This is impossible.
Do not worry, brother. You will succeed. Just don't think about it. Eating is so damn nice. Trust me and give it a go.
Finally, the day is finished. I will enjoy my quarter nuke menu.
Wait, Wajak, is that you, bro?
Okay, we're back.
We are back.
Some of the commercials, oh my gosh, they switched them all around and some are really bad. So Tom, if you're still there, I want to ask you about the red flag laws. Can you explain a little bit and go into detail a little bit more about that? We've got about 20 minutes left.
Okay. I'll try and keep it a little shorter. Whenever there's a shooting, you automatically hear about the guns. And they don't deal with the psychological factors that are really the core issues. And so They've passed these red flag laws, but unfortunately what they do is give the government a way to attack people who oppose the government. It's kind of like twice in our history we've had the sedition acts under John Adams and under Woodrow Wilson, who said if you criticize the government, we're going to put you in jail. And The ERPOs, the red flags, their extreme risk protection orders, give the government too much power. And we've got an issue. We've got an issue with people with psychological problems, but this is not the way to attack it. So, for instance, under New York's mental hygiene law, which is where the red flag laws come in, if it takes a doctor to make a determination that you're likely to do something that's likely to result in serious harm to yourself or others. Under the red flag laws, they can take away your guns without a doctor having any input. And under the red flag laws, if you're going to take a person's liberty away for more than 40, excuse me, under the mental hygiene law, if you're going to take a person's liberty away for more than 48 hours, you have to have two doctors make that determination. Under the red flag laws, again, no doctors required. And it goes on like that, that there's, under the mental hygiene laws, there's all kinds of safeguards in other cases that do not exist under the red flag laws. And let me just give you one, it's just a crazy example, but it's absolutely true. The people that can turn you in under the red flag laws include school administrators. In Wisconsin this past year, a school administrator turned in, had a seven-year-old arrested for sexual harassment because he used the wrong pronoun. I'm not joking. That actually happened.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
the
this is the kind
of thing is a big deal.
Yeah.
So without these kind of safeguards, the red flag laws are really, really dangerous. If you read in your history of Russia, the Soviet Union, Joe Stalin used to throw people into mental institutions as a way to get people, get back at people who opposed them. So this is scary, the kind of stuff they want to do. And it's not that we're opposed to dealing with people with mental issues, but this is not the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yep.
Agree.
Yep. Instead, they've got the FEMA camps that we're considered a threat to the health of others, they could throw us in the FEMA camps and concentration camps, limited houses.
Yeah, and leave the ones that are out on bail reform out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So let's see, a couple other questions that I have for you.
Okay.
Let's see, what about the possible solutions for upstate New York?
yeah, that's a good one. And we're not the only state with this kind of problem. You see it in other states that are dominated by a big city or a number of big cities. For instance, I'll tell you one that's not going to work in New York State, but might elsewhere, that there are several counties in eastern Washington State, in eastern Oregon, and even some northern eastern California counties that want to join Idaho.
Really?
The simple
reason
is they're conservative. And they're dominated by the left coast cities, the Tacomas and Seattles, et cetera, Portland, that, and of course California, you know the situation there. And so they're saying, wait a minute, you know, we have no voice in our government, and we're sitting here on the border with Idaho, which has very similar ideas and philosophy as to how things should be go. So we'd like to secede from our state and join Idaho. Now, it's, you know, whether they'll be successful or not, but on the surface, they have a possible solution. That won't work in New York State because, for instance, I live in the Southern Tier, the New York 20, 23rd, which runs all along the Pennsylvania border. And it's, as we said, it's a very Republican district. If we wanted to secede, we'd have to go to Pennsylvania. But Pennsylvania is not a Republican state. It's heavily influenced by Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. And they're not going to invite in a bunch of Republicans and change the balance. So that's not an option. There's a conversation going around about having upstate New York come in as a separate state at the same time as Puerto Rico comes in as a separate state. That deals with the problems over senators, that a new state brings in two senators, and the idea being upstate would be two Republicans and Puerto Rico would be two Democrats. But the problem is upstate is not a heavily Republican district because of the Erie County, Monroe, Rochester, a little bit in Syracuse, and then other places like Albany and Ithaca. It's sort of a 50-50 balance, so you wouldn't necessarily run. It wouldn't be like adding in these states that I just mentioned out in eastern Washington as a separate state, which would be guaranteed Republican states. So that's not going to work. So there's the Divide New York, and basically you've probably talked about that on your radio show, which is currently you've got the states, and underneath them you've got the counties, and that's just basically to put a level between the state and the counties and let them run their own areas, divided into two or maybe three areas in the state, and the state would only deal with those things federally that only the state could deal with. And that's a push. That's a difficult one. It doesn't mean it couldn't be done, but somehow we'd have to convince New York City that it's to their advantage. And mm-hmm. one of the things that you read off and on is that New York City is contributing economically to upstate New York through the political system. Well, we wouldn't need that if they turn us loose and get us out from under the New York State the New York City regulations.
Yeah.
But you know the whole story behind that. And there's another one that we're trying to work on, which would help us enormously. And it's called the one man, one vote rule. And what happened is if you look at the federal constitution, you've got two houses of the legislature. One is based on population, and one has two senators from each state. And that's basically to balance out that there are big states and small states, and to give the small states a say in what's going on. Well, the Constitution in the Section 4 says that the federal government will guarantee all states a Republican form of government. Unfortunately, for the first 150 years, some states abused that. So when Earl Warren's court, which was the most liberal Supreme Court we've ever had and hopefully ever do have, they took up the decision, which before then none of the Supreme Courts had taken up. And they found something in the Constitution that no one else knew was there. And they said that all the states, both houses of their legislatures, had to be based on population. How they found that, nobody knows, but that was the old Warren Court. And so that's why, if you've ever looked at New York State, why both houses of our legislature are based on population. And so what we're trying to do, and Congresswoman Kenney and the folks out in Niagara Safe and ourselves are on scope, they're all trying to work on something to see if we can get this somehow reversed. It seems like we would have a chance in the current configuration of the Supreme Court that they're willing to address some of this. And this clearly is an aberration, and it really destroys the whole purpose of having two houses, because basically in upstate New York, as you know, we have virtually no effective voice in our government. And I use the term effective. They can look at it and say, well, you do have representation, but we're so outvoted by, and it's basically New York City, that we don't have a voice. And so we're looking to see if we can, and it's early, but we're trying to make this an issue, to make people aware of the issue, and that this might also be an answer to our problem. And Divide New York is also another one that's working with us on it.
Yeah, my understanding is that, you know, when New York was founded, we had one senator per county. And, you know, you think about looking at all the counties in New York State, and we would have a pretty red Senate if that were the case. But I guess about 100 years ago, about the same time they passed the 17th Amendment, which I oppose and I think should be repealed, the 17th Amendment of the Constitution made the U.S. senators elected by the people instead of by the state legislatures. So that's how you've got people like Joe Biden that's been there for 50 years. If it was still, if they were still elected by the state legislators, they'd be like, okay, you've been there, you know, 12, 18 years. If you can't get done what you wanted to get done, it's time for somebody else. You've got, you know, a whole state house here that's chomping at the bit to be a U.S. senator. You know, let somebody else try to do it. So those are two mistakes that our forefathers made. Was one, in New York State, having the senators, basically the senatorial districts are two times the assembly district, you know, so it's based on population and not by the counties. And with the U.S. Constitution, the senators being elected by the people, so you've got two people's houses instead of one.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened in New York State and in other states like us is exactly what the founding fathers were afraid of, is the tyranny of the majority. That's why they came up with two senators from each state. And as you point out, if we had one senator from state senator from each county, it would be an entirely different situation. But right now, upstate New York is subject to the tyranny of the majority. That's the reality.
Right. And, you know, if the colors were reversed, would there be tyranny? I doubt it. You know, I doubt if we were a red state, if there would be the tyranny of the majority over the minority.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, one of the things we keep bringing up is the difference between the liberals and conservatives is that, you know, that Barack Obama didn't get much right, but when he said just leave us with our religion and guns, he was pretty close. He might have thrown in fix the potholes also, but we're not into big government. We want to be left alone, where the left is, that's their life. That's what they want, is big government. They want that control, and that's what we're running into, and that's what part of what is very difficult to get conservative Republicans and gun owners in particular motivated to vote. If we could get gun, there's something like 5 million gun owners in New York State. If we could get them to vote, we'd be the most powerful political force in the state. But they don't want to vote. Did I lose you? Like, you back?
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Dean was talking and
we were muted. The number I heard was something like, and your numbers are probably more accurate than mine, something like 6.2 million gun owners. And if we could get them to get off their barca lounger and go to the polls, then Cuomo probably wouldn't have had his last term, and neither would Hochul.
Yeah, actually, that it's interesting because usually there's around 6 million people vote in a gubernatorial election. In 2014, the first time that Cuomo ran for re-election, and that was a year and a half after the SAFE Act was passed, and gun owners were supposed to be all upset, less than 4 million people voted. Cuomo got elected with about 2.1 million votes. And as I said, the best estimates I'm seeing are somewhere around 5.5 million gun owners. I mean, if half of those voted, and most of them are not going to vote for Cuomo, I mean, you're seeing, you know, we would not have had Governor Cuomo, we'd have had Governor Astorino back in 2014, and things would be considerably different. So we missed our chance.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So we have about 2 minutes left, and I'd like you to tell our listeners just a couple of things. What would be the most important thing you would want to leave with the listeners tonight?
Well, vote. Get active. Vote, vote, vote. You know, and the difficulty is probably the people listening to this show were preaching to the audience, preaching to the choir. We've got to reach those people that might vote but don't. You know, we're probably not going to reach those who just say, I'm not going to vote until a major crisis hits, and then they're going to wonder what happened. But we need to get people motivated that are just sitting out there on the sidelines, and maybe they'll vote, maybe they won't. You know, it's important that we preach to the choir because we got to keep reinforcing this. You know, it's sometimes you feel like you're the Lone Ranger out there when you're surrounded by all of this media garbage going in the other direction. But they need to know that you're not alone. There's a lot of us that believe exactly as you do. And like I said, we've got to approach, we've got to get these other people.
Yeah. And I feel like people are, in some regards, waking up, you know, because there's so many issues now that are affecting them. And I feel like people don't really care all that much until it affects them. And there's so many things coming down the pike now that are going to. You know, it's unavoidable.
Well, I think you've hit it right on the nose. And, you know, that's just as I was just saying, that until the crisis hits, they're not gonna, some of them are just not going to move. And then when it hits, they're going to say, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So fantastic show tonight. Very informative. Very well articulated. We totally appreciate you being on.
Well, it was my pleasure.
Yeah, anytime. So we are going to just talk a little bit about our upcoming shows for February. What do we got? Oh my gosh, we have so many. We have some really good ones coming up. So next week we have the Cheektowaga Republican Committee on.
Yep.
Following week we're going to have my girlfriend Kathy McGowan. She is a world-renowned psychic medium.
Yep.
So she's going to be on doing readings. And last time she was on, it was about a year ago, and the switchboard nearly crashed because there were so many people that wanted to come. So if you're thinking about doing that show, be sure that you get on early.
And make sure you press one.
Make sure you press one so that you raise your hand. And then the following week, I can't literally wait for this. I've been trying to blast this guy to get on the show for a long time. He is 100% knows what's going on. He has his own organization fighting and spreading the truth about the chemtrails.
Diana's favorite subject.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, he goes into detail every night about, you know, these things and what they use and how much they use. I mean, it's pretty much his whole life is spreading awareness about this, and I can't wait until that show. So that's at the end of the month. So we're booked for the month of February. We are looking for people to be on in March.
Yep.
So we're booking for March. So we will have this podcast up on Apple Radio, Apple, I'm going to start that over, Apple Podcasts, Freedomizer Radio, Blog Talk Radio. We will also have it up on iHeart. We'll be sure that we get it up on our Facebook page. And, Tom, if you're still listening, we'll be sure that we email you the link so you can put it out there as well to your people. So, D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. Dean, anything you want to add?
Nope. Just have a good weekend.
Yeah, have a good
weekend.
Try to
stay warm. We got like 20 below wind chills tomorrow here in Buffalo. So
yeah, and then it'll be 50 next
week. Dress warmly. Yep.
So make sure you tune in next week so we can talk to one of the local committees and what they're doing to change things in one of the biggest towns in Western New York.
Okay.
So, all right. D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. Have a good week, guys. We'll see you soon.